Hello there, Rebel fans. Welcome into the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Alex Adianju, Andy Samuelson, providing the quote-unquote comic relief. We're here to discuss the 3-1 UNLV football team coming off a 34-31 overtime win.
The who?
Yeah, I know. They have a football team. Isn't that wild?
Really?
They got jerseys and everything.
Wow.
Locker room.
Are they matching jerseys?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Green, you know, if they lead the first half after this week, I will have hit the quota of 3.5 over-under wins this year.
This is true.
Can you believe it?
It's going to win me a lunch.
I think I underestimated the Rebs.
I think I had a lunch on that one, too.
We made a little inter-office wager on the Rebel win total.
We had
the confidence. Yeah. We had the confidence.
Before we say it, I must say, we're on iTunes now. So for all those who can't get us on LasVegasSun.com.
Get on that iTunes game.
We got that iTunes game now. How to play when you see him in the street.
You can get it on that iPod.
That iPod.
When you're hanging out at Sam Boyd punching Wolfpack fans in the face this week and you want some anger, you know, boiling in your headset.
I've heard it gets rough this weekend. I'm not going to lie. Your boy's kind of scared to go out to the ballpark
on
Saturday.
I'm putting on pads and a helmet.
Well, our boy is also scared of dogs, so that makes sense. Wolfpack dogs, I get it.
Funny.
Hey, you're also scared of his cats.
Why? When does this become a let's talk about Alex show? I thought this was the Rebel Room.
You remember your reaction when you first came over to my place and saw my cat and he crawled up behind you and stepping up and jumping off
hey,
the couch?
Hey, UNLV's got a big game this week.
We'd rather make fun of you, though.
Yeah, but the fans don't want to hear about
fine,
that.
Fine, we'll let you. That's what you think. We'll let you off the hook. UNLV 3-1, not ranked, not getting votes, but maybe some of that, maybe they will start getting some voters' attention this week if they can make it 4-1 against rival Nevada Reno, who is 1-2 coming in off a bye week. You know, the 1-2 may be a little deceiving. They won the opener, but since then, two top 10 opponents. They played Texas Tech at home. They played them pretty tight, and then they got walloped by Missouri like just about everybody else is on the road out in Columbia. So, I mean, you can feel the temperature rising this week for this game. This is my first taste of seeing this rivalry firsthand. Alex, Andy, I know the same goes for you guys. This is some intense stuff.
Yeah, talking to coach on Tuesday, he said this is probably one of the greatest rivalries he's been around in all his coaching. Just because, I mean, there's only two colleges in the state of Nevada.
Yeah, two Division I programs.
One's north, one's south, and they meet up every year playing for the Fremont Cannon. And it gets rowdy, it gets crazy, and it's what college football's all about, you know what I'm saying?
Playing for guns, yeah, I hear you. Actually, I was here last year. That game was in Reno, didn't go to it, but I saw Hawaii come in here. And if you don't know, there's a huge Hawaiian population here in Vegas.
Contingent, yeah, Polynesian.
And there was a lot of fights, I'm not going to lie to you. I felt like I was back home. It was just it was pretty rough. I saw about 20 security guards going to a tunnel, and I probably saw 40 people going after them. I don't know what happened. I just left.
They have fights like that out in Mays, Kansas?
Mays, wow.
Well, and we've been hearing all this about what goes on in the stands and in the parking lot and all that stuff. Players don't seem to like each other too much. We've heard some stories about things that have happened in the past, and UNLV, this is a very hungry team for this game. Let's get into this game a little bit. They've lost 3 in a row. Mike Sanford 0-3 against Reno, and you can tell he wants this one pretty bad. And if there's anything to help them put maybe kind of a shaky performance against Iowa State behind them, the rival coming up certainly is going to help.
And that's the thing, Coach Sanford. He's been telling the boys that they're the underdogs for this game, even though they are 3-1, and Reno's 1-2.
And they're 3.5-point favorites in all the books. Yeah.
He believes they're the underdog because they haven't won this game in 3 years. I mean, Casey Flair was a true freshman the last time this team won the trophy. He was saying on Tuesday how you kind of don't realize that it's gone until it's gone. Like Kanye said, you really don't know what you have until it's gone. Kanye West, shout out right there. And they all want this back. You know what I'm saying? They all want this cannon back at UNLV.
Well, and I think it maybe especially enhances that because it is at home. They don't want to see these guys dancing around with what they believe should rightfully be theirs on their home turf. But before we get into this game, let's go back to the Iowa State game and maybe some things that UNLV needs to change because you know, it was two very different overtimes in these last two games for the Cyclones. You know, at Arizona State, they clawed and kicked and scratched to get to overtime. This one, they kind of left the front door open a few too many times, and Iowa State got back in it. They allowed them back in it after being up 21-0 at halftime. And There were just some breakdowns in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, I rewatched the game on the Mountain Network. I watched that final drive by Iowa State when they traveled 90-plus yards.
98-yarder.
In a minute 40 with no timeouts. And there was a lot of defensive breakdowns in the secondary. I mean, players were getting wide open. They had big yardage when they shouldn't have. I mean, Quentin Porter had a chance to intercept the game, the ball to end the game, and he dropped it. I mean, they had.
So did Lafayette Fletcher, yeah.
They had the miscue on the touchdown. You know, there's a lot of problems went wrong in the defensive secondary, but you can only learn from that experience. You know, you can't look back. You got to look towards the future, and hopefully UNLV can do that coming up on Saturday.
Well, I think the other thing that's the thing that's big that maybe they could build off from that game. I mean, offensively, things are just working right now. They're running the ball in a variety of ways. Omar Clayton has 9 TD passes to no picks. He's the 30th highest rated passer in the Division I ranks right now, and one of only 5 quarterbacks in Division I who's thrown 100 pass attempts with no interceptions. So they're about as they're about as solid as you can get on offense right now. But maybe in an intangible, going back to the first half, Iowa State obviously came out, wanted to play the game within the game right off the bat. They wanted to try to get UNLV pissed off. They took some cheap shots, wound up having a player ejected because of that shot on Omar Clayton in the end zone. And Mike Sanford talked about how far his team has come because some of his guys, namely Flair, who've had issues with personal fouls in the past, were able to keep it in check. And I guess he said that showed a sign of maturity, and that's big, especially because they might see the same thing this week.
And that's all about coach. I mean, the coaches preach to the players all week long. You got to stay under control. You can't let the little stuff get at you. And they listen, and they came out with the victory. Now, this Saturday is going to be a whole different animal just because it is Reno. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talking. A lot of pushing and shoving going on after the play. I mean, it's pretty much expected. And when you have a rivalry like this, it'll be interesting to see how UNLV will be able to react when all that stuff starts happening during the game.
Well, do you anticipate – I have a hard time – I mean, that first half caught us all by surprise, I think, last week. UNLV, I mean, just dominating somebody, you know, they held Iowa State to 38 yards of offense, one first down, and obviously the second half was the complete opposite. But – do you see the potential for that against Reno? I mean, are they going to be that jacked up and have that much of an advantage early? I'm not sure.
I think so. I mean, another factor into this game will be the big crowd. Mm-hmm. I mean, they drew 25,000 last week. It'll probably be sold out this week just because UNLV's been playing so well, and Reno always brings a lot of their fans down here for the game. Yeah. I mean, when you factor in the crowd, you get that 12th man popping off. You know what I'm saying? Anything's possible in the first half. And the way UNLV was just so dominant in that first half, one would think – throughout home again, why can't they do that again? Andy has nothing. Me and you, Ryan, let's go.
Well, I mean, I think part of the reason the crowd wasn't as crowded last week is because the truck NASCAR was in town, so they probably stole a few fans. Mm. And let's face it, Vegas has unlimited options to go out, which we'll tell you about later.
Yeah, Andy's treasures of Vegas, hidden treasures of Vegas. Don't forget to stay tuned.
But I think they were probably a little disappointed in that, the fans. I think you when you know you're talking about bowl games and you only put up 25,000 off one of your biggest wins. You got to have people show up. This week, obviously, I think that number will grow, but how much it'll kind of be.
How much will it carry over,
yeah,
too, when it's not Reno here? And that's the thing. I mean, these bowl officials are now going to start taking a look at UNLV. They're going to go on the road, see how they travel. They're going to come to Sam Boyd Stadium, see how the home crowd turns out when they're playing the Air Forces of the world and the Wyomings. That's going to be pretty big.
One thing I was disappointed in the crowd was they were leaving towards the end of the third quarter. I mean, you could make the argument that during overtime, Iowa State was making much more noise than UNLV.
You gotta get in that line at Rain early, man, if you want a shot. Come on.
I'm just like, I was dumbfounded when I was like, wow, they're leaving an overtime game against another BCS school.
And you know what? Iowa State fans, they travel. I mean, we've seen this.
About
6,000 here. It's amazing because they haven't had a whole lot of success, basketball or football. I mean, they did with Seneca, but I mean, they travel, and that's an impressive. That says a lot about your fans when they come out.
It just boggled my mind that the fans were leaving midway through the third quarter and in the fourth quarter and in overtime.
I thought it was stupid. I agree.
But, hey, LAX is still open, so you got to get VIP.
True.
You got to get in line early for that. Well, looking ahead to UNR now, this is a team that
– is it UNR or Nevada?
I refuse to call it Nevada, only because people are getting so up in arms over it. I will only refer to it as UNR or Nevada Reno because – I've gotten so many emails the last 2 days because people are demanding that it is called Nevada.
They don't know nothing.
Not doing it.
The alma mater of Nick Fizikas.
Nick Fizikas. Blast from the past, huh?
He was at Summer League this year.
He was at Summer League.
Yeah.
Did he play?
Yeah.
He
played pretty well a couple games.
Hit the weight room, too. Got big. Got that inside game coming a little bit. Played for the Clippers.
I just remember that 38 points on Kansas.
He had no problems with assistant coaches either.
Well, one thing that does that could cause issues for UNLV from Nevada is quarterback Colin Kaepernick. I hope I pronounced that name right. He's 6'6" sophomore, dual threat quarterback, and that's been the key so far for opponents of UNLV. UNLV has yet to allow a 100-yard rusher this season, but big but three of the four games they've played this season, the opposing team's leading rusher has been one of its quarterbacks. Austin Arnaud did it for Iowa State. Brian Johnson did it for Utah, and DeAndre Borrell did it for Utah State in the opener in the second half. This guy is better than any of those three in terms of running the ball.
And we were talking about how the defense played so well in that first half against Iowa State. They need to play that well all four quarters against Nevada with that quarterback, because he can just tear you apart with the arm and with the legs. And I don't think UNLV could afford to get into a shootout with Reno. I mean, even though their offense played great last week, it's played great all season long, but it hasn't put up the points that it did last week. So I don't know if shootout is the right way to go about with Reno coming up on Saturday.
I feel like UNLV's not built for a shootout almost. Yeah.
And like you were saying, I mean, Nevada's both losses came against top 10 teams who were explosive offenses. They weren't able to keep up with them guys, but, you know.
Yeah, this is they're conditioned for what they're good. I mean, this is let's be honest. I mean, this is maybe a step down from what they've seen the last 2 weeks, or in their last two games. And they're coming off a bye week. They're healthy. They've had a lot of time to prepare, a lot of time to get absolutely steamed, wanting to keep that cannon painted blue. There's some emotional factors, I would think, in Nevada's favor.
But on UNLV,
Nevada Reno's favor, excuse me.
On UNLV's side, they have all the momentum. I mean, they've won their last two games against big time schools. They're feeling confident. I mean, they feel like they can win this game if it comes down to it late in the fourth quarter, just because of all that's happened in the past 2 weeks and them able to rally and win big in overtime the past two games.
I'm pumped. I can already taste that Rebel Dog.
Are you actually going to the game this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go out, and I think I'm sorry. I had to cover something else there last Saturday, boss. You know, we also have some other fans besides just UNLV. But I'm going to go out, and I'm going to kind of take in the tailgating, you know. And view the game from the stands, see what happens. I'm going to get in the rivalry, see if we can.
I must say, your boy had that Memphis barbecue on Saturday, and we were highly impressed. So I may have to get there a little extra early this time, get a couple of plates down before we start getting that game, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Memphis barbecue, doing work, son. Holla at me later on if you need something, or we can get something popping off. I'm
Let's
just
get
saying.
Back to football, please.
I'm just saying.
Give me a prediction and why.
I think UNLV wins just because the fact that they've been playing so well these last two games against big-time schools and they have all the confidence. They really want this cannon back at UNLV this year. I mean, Stanford, like you said, is 0-3. They feel like they're the underdog. This is a must-win for them heading to the conference schedule. I see UNLV pulling it out 34-23.
Hey, who was I forget their – who was the leader of the cult where they all wore the black Nikes?
Johnny Unitas?
No. It was, and don't you remember? I don't remember who it was, but they're all going to go to outer space, and they all had the black Nikes on.
Oh, in Iowa,
Stanford's got the black Nikes. I think they're drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm going to predict this though. They're going to trail late in the game, and somehow the fans are going to propel them through. We're going to go third straight overtime, win on a field goal. How about that?
I don't even know what black Nikes mean.
Heaven's Gate. That's what it was called. I know
all,
my.
Yeah, they were all in the bunk beds.
I know my Kool-Aid drinkers.
Oh my word. I'll go with UNLV too. I mean, it's just the smart play right now, honestly. I'm not going to say to cover or anything like that, but I mean, it is the smart play right now. They've got some things on their side, and
so was BYU last week. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Pull me out of the doldrum.
Anyway, Mr. Degenerate. I like UNLV. The thing is Omar Clayton, I think, is the key to everything, and he's got the 9 touchdown passes to no picks, but at the same time, you know, he's getting more confident as the weeks go along, and you can see it. We can see it when we talk to him. He's just playing with a little more confidence, a little bit more of a bounce in his step. I don't know what other cliches I could throw out there for you, but
just throw out the full book right now.
Yeah, he's really giving 110%.
Taking it one play at a time.
Taking one play at a time. Doing what's best for the team.
Sawing wood, Green.
He keeps just sawing wood. he's the kind of guy who, if you ask him to run through a brick wall,
hey brother,
he's gonna do it. No, but seriously though, this is a guy who he just adds so much to this offense and what they're able to do. I just don't see them having that slip up just yet.
Real quickly, for your full UNLV preview, check out All In Thursdays 5:30 on Vegas TV.
Well, here I was just gonna say, why don't we pay some bills before we get to Andy's hidden gems of Vegas? What else we got to pub up and kiss our own butts over?
702.tv. You know how we get our swagger back with that one. Vegas TV. The updates at 4, 5, 8:30, and then 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the mornings. LasVegasSun.com. UNLV page. Talk about that one. We got Mr. Green.
Oh, we got everything you want. I don't even know. I don't really even have to say it. No, we got videos, photo, this podcast, blogs, live in-game coverage, post-game coverage, everything. I mean, like, I don't know. We'll just make
virtual
you sick.
UNLV.
We'll make you sick of UNLV. If you want to be sick of UNLV, we'll make you sick of UNLV.
Remember, All In, 5:30 on Vegas TV. We're also got on Thursdays, by the way. We got that iTunes game on All In, too, now. We in HD on that one, spectacular HD on iTunes. Search All In and Vegas. You get us up on that, you know what I'm saying? We got to get that money, dog. We in a recession, dog. The government just paid $700 billion for insurance or something like that. We got to make our money, you know what I mean? Real talk.
Hey, Andy.
And speaking of making money, that's where I come in. Ellis Island, how are you guys doing out there tonight?
Let's get Andy's, this week, Andy's hidden gem of Vegas, because let's just give a little background here. We are all relatively new to Vegas. None of us are from here, grew up here, or anything. And, you know, we've kind of picked up on the fact that around here there's a lot of people in the same boat as us.
Yeah, I'm the veteran of about a year, a little over a year.
Which makes you the crafty veteran in this room. You are the crafty veteran who throws
the
snot ball with the left hand coming out of the bullpen. So we are going to give you – everybody knows about, you know, the Palms and the Bellagio and all that stuff that's going to run your wallet dry. But Andy,
now if you find a sugar mama,
Andy, last week brought you the tale of the Fiesta Henderson,
and I forgot to say that they also have a movie theater, a Fat Burger, and a Subway.
Well, what is this week's hidden gem of Las Vegas?
Is Ellis Island
location?
And, wow, I don't even remember. I think it's on Harmon. It's right below. It's right behind Hard Rock, right off the Strip. It's a Best Western hotel is connected to it.
Okay. Right across the street from Rebel Park, where the Rebels practice.
Yes, I mean, just get your Rebel Park practice on, and then you know.
Get
about
that
to tell
Ellis
you about
Island
the
Island game.
All right, so for $6.99, you can get their steak dinner, and it's tremendous. It might even be better than the Fiestas. I'm gonna put it out there. It's better than the Fiestas.
Wow,
how I feel about that.
You just got your Fiesta free Fiesta for life steak and eggs. Just
so you
revoked.
Can get you get a nice sized steak. You get the green beans. Your potato game, as my boy says.
Potato game.
You can get the mashed or the
the
fries.
Get your fry cut.
You get a beer, too. They have their own brewery there.
Make sure you're 21 to drink, though.
Yes.
Make sure you're 21 to drink.
Also got gambling. Leroy's is up in that joint. You got to get there to see Leroy's alone. I can't believe you haven't been there yet, Green.
Let's do it. After we go to Rebel Park next, we're going to Ellis Island.
Island, and they also have pretty cheap tables. I mean, you can play there. And then a lot of people know it for their karaoke. They are pretty
intense.
That's where Alex
is. It's intense.
In.
While you're eating that that steak, you might hear some pretty bad singing. But, you know, you get a couple more of those fresh beers in there, and you might be doing it yourself.
Your boy don't karaoke. Let's just put it out there.
I know is I'm ready to go to Ellis Island.
After I get some work done, we can go to Ellis Island.
Sounds good.
Done. Any final comments before we get out of here this week, gentlemen?
I am very excited to see what this rivalry is all about. We've heard stories. We've heard horror stories. We've heard good stories. I want to see for myself what it's going to happen.
You know, I think we all have history in Kansas and around KU. I feel like from the description I've gotten around here, maybe it's a little biased. This is a lot like the KU-K-State rivalry, and only two Division I schools in the programs in the state, and it means a little more, it seems, to the people in one town than it does in the other.
K-State?
I mean, Lawrence is the greatest place on earth.
Yes.
And Manhattan is where you go to learn how to farm pigs. And the people in Lawrence, you know, they lose a football game, they go find something else to do. People in Manhattan, they lose the football game.
They go to Russ's and they get all liquored up and they start beating people up.
They got to wait till the next one. The people, I feel like Reno, they have a lot more invested. The people of Reno, I'm not saying the football program, have a lot more invested in this rivalry than the people of Las Vegas do. And maybe that, you know, maybe that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing on Las Vegas, but I mean, come on, it's Las Vegas. There's a zillion other things to
it's
do.
It's the biggest little city in the world. I mean, they're.
I think Brian Green just called out the city of Las Vegas.
Yeah, I didn't call it out. He might have.
Saying, step your game up.
I'm saying Las Vegas is just more legit than Reno.
We got a football game on Saturday. Step your game up. I think that's what I mean. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
I'm not calling out my new hometown. I swear.
LV.
Swear to you.
Let's see what you got this weekend.
Well, LV for life.
We could be completely wrong. It could be the Missouri, Kansas, where cheerleaders are getting hit with Jack Daniels bottles. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It could get ugly out there.
Oh,
I just want to see at least like 12 fights in the stand while I'm trying to watch
the
game.
I would guarantee
let's
that.
Let's just leave a message out there for the kids.
Let's do that. The over-under fights. No, let's not.
Stay safe. No, seriously, stay safe out there. Be safe. And we know you, even though you probably won't.
Put the beer down, drink that Mike Sanford Kool-Aid. Get it done.
I'm more at ease just by having said that. So.
All right.
Well, this has been the Rebel Room. For Alex Adianju, Andy Samuelson, I am Ryan Green. We will talk to you next week as we look back on what will have at that point been UNLV and Nevada Reno, and look ahead to the next road trip to Colorado State.
Fort Collins.
All right, take care out there. We'll see you next week.